This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
And it is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. We have been bringing you this local program since 1979, back when the station signed on the air. Now, in our 45th year of Sportsline, every Saturday morning throughout the school year on WRMJ. Good morning, this is Ty Taylor. Appreciate you tuning into Sportsline this morning here on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. And the reason we're able to bring you this program week in and week out, year after year, is because of our great local sponsors like our man Dale Jones, who's a former WRMJ employee. He's with Merit Auctions, of course, and today a great day for an auction this morning, beginning at 9 o'clock, so just getting underway. Dale Jones of Merit Auctions is assisting Webster Auctioneers in a fantastic live auction for the Tab and Bev Ballmer Estate. That's on site at 1368 120th Avenue in Joy. For sale today, a collection of vintage and modern farm equipment, including an 1850 diesel Oliver tractor, a 404 tractor, two Massey Ferguson tractors, a fuel-efficient hybrid car, several wagon wheels, golf carts, hay racks, antique planters, and much more. Again, that's a live auction for the Tab and Bev Ballmer Estate going on now, just getting underway at 1368 120th Avenue in Joy this morning. All right, we've got a lot to get to today. We have three great guests lined up. It was a great week for Sherrard High School Athletics. Three conference championships won over the past week, and two of them official, one of them unofficial, you could say, as we'll get into that here momentarily. Today, our guests include Sherrard baseball coach Nick Basala, the Tigers conference champions outright in the Track West. They're currently 7-0 in the conference, and 14-7 overall. Sherrard swept a conference series over Monmouth-Roseville this week, winning 10-0 and 18-8 to become the Track West Conference champions for the second consecutive year in baseball. Pretty impressive. Sherrard has already clinched an outright conference title, with them still having three games to play in the league, but with Riverdale, Rockridge, and Mercer County all tied for second in the league with four losses at 5-4, and Sherrard having just three conference games to play at 7-0. They have wrapped up that conference championship. Also today, we'll talk with Sherrard girls track and field coach Todd Volkert. The Tigers win a fifth consecutive conference championship in girls track and field in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, dominating the conference meet, winning by 48.5 points. The Tigers score 145.5 to take first. Mercer County comes in second, scoring 97 points at the meet. Tigers finished in first place in six of the 18 events. The individual conference champions for Sherrard included sophomore Anna Churchill in the 1600. Sherrard won three of the four relays, the 4x100-meter relay team, the 4x400-meter relay, and then the 4x800-meter relay for Sherrard. Ran a 9:39.29, which set a new Three Rivers Athletic Conference record by more than 17 seconds. Then a couple of field events, the Tigers took first place, and Sadie Shemick won the discus, and then Eliza Dominic took first place in the pole vault for Mercer County. one individual conference champion as freshman Emlyn Miller took first place in the 3200. But again, we'll talk with Sherrard girls track and field coach Todd Volker, a fifth straight conference championship for the Tigers. We'll get into a lot with him as Sherrard looking at competing in the 2A postseason again this year in track and field. Now, track, as opposed to like baseball, softball, volleyball, basketball, it's a three-class sport instead of four-class. So we'll talk about that with Coach Volker. We'll also speak about kind of just what the program, the meaning to the program of winning a fifth straight conference title was. But it's interesting getting into, you know, the difference for Sherrard in track and field competing in 2A as opposed to 1A, because as you'll hear Coach Volker talk about, I mean, Sherrard goes from basically competing in a classification 1A where it's schools, you know, from 200 to 400. And now for them, it's basically schools. I think the numbers are from 420 up to 1,232. So Sherrard competing in the postseason in track and field against schools that are up to triple the size of the Sherrard district, basically. So Sherrard will compete in 2A again this year in girls track and field after wrapping up a track championship in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference on Thursday. That was held in Monmouth. The Tigers will head to Rock Falls as part of the girls track and field sectional next week. And just for an example, I guess, here's the rest of the schools that Sherrard will be competing against in the sectional in girls track and field in Rock Falls. Limestone, Canton, IVC, East Peoria, Galesburg, Geneseo, Kewaunee, Macomb, Metamora, Monmouth, Roseville, Manual, and Notre Dame out of Peoria, Princeton, Rock Falls, and then Streeter Township along with Sherrard that is competing at the Rock Falls sectional. Locally in 1A track and field, it's interesting because both Mercer County and Rock Ridge are hosting sectionals as the two schools got split up. So the teams Mercer County will be competing with, it's a 17-team sectional at the 1A Mercer County Girls Track and Field Sectional. It's Mercer County, Abingdon, Avon, West Central, Bushnell, Parry City, Illini West, Elmwood, Brimfield, Farmington, Galva, Henry, Knoxville, United, Roval, Williamsfield, Princeville, West Prairie, Stark County, West Hancock, and Low Point Washburn at the Rock Ridge Sectional in track and field this week. On the girls' side, Amboy, Cambridge, Depew, Erie, Provincetown, Fulton, Putnam County, Annawan, Weathersfield, Bureau Valley, Morrison, Orion, St. Bede, Riverdale, Alleman Hall, Newman Central Catholic, and Rock Ridge. All three of those sectional dates are Wednesday, May 14th for Sherrard competing in Rock Falls, Mercer County competing at home, and Rock Ridge competing at home as well, as the girls' track and field postseason officially here this week. And coming up this week as well, the Three Rivers Athletic Conference Boys Track and Field Conference Meet will be held at Sherrard High School. That is scheduled for Friday with the Boys Track Sectional set for next week. And our third guest this week is Orion Sherrard Cambridge Girls Soccer Coach Rick Klein. The Orion Sherrard Cambridge Girls Soccer Co-op now 19-3 on the season after a 2-1 loss to Byron last night. When we talked with Coach Klein earlier in the week, the team was 19-2, and this past week they wrapped up an unofficial conference championship in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. That's something that Coach Klein makes very clear, because if you didn't know, in the track, only five member schools have girls soccer, those being Orion and Sherrard, which co-op with Cambridge. Princeton has a team, as does Monmouth, Roseville, and Mendota, and then Hall co-ops with Depew. So with only five competing schools, it's a unofficial conference, but Sherrard, or I should say Orion, Sherrard, Cambridge finished undefeated against conference opponents this season with wins against Mendota 7-1. They beat Monmouth, Roseville 5-0, took down Depew Hall 9-0, and then beat Princeton 4-3. Over the past week. That game against Princeton was on Monday. So it's been a successful year for the co-op. We'll talk with Coach Klein about, you know, the season that they've been able to put together, and then looking ahead to the postseason, where the Orion Sherrard Cambridge in a really challenging subsectional, even with, you know, a 19-3 record on the season, they're in an 8-team class 2A subsectional, and girls soccer, like track and field, like we were talking about, is a 3-class sport. So even with a 19-3 record in the season, Orion Sherrard Cambridge is the 7th seed in an 8-team subsectional in 2A girls soccer. They'll begin the postseason in a couple of weeks, hosting a regional in Orion, but playing against Richwoods, who is the number two seed in the subsectional out of Peoria. But it's a good talk with Coach Klein just about, you know, the season the co-op has had, some of the challenges that come with, you know, running a sport that has three schools that are a part of it in terms of just the logistics of it. And then he speaks a little bit just about what he feels like the state of, you know, soccer is at the high school level and the IHSA, as that's a sport that feels like it continues to grow and grow and grow. Also this week, by the way, speaking about the Orion Sherrard girls soccer co-op, we talked with the team's leading scorer on the season, Adeline Ellsberger, this week. You can hear that interview online at WRMJ.com. So again, our guests this week, Sherrard girls track and field coach Todd Volkert, Sherrard baseball coach Nick Basala, and Orion Sherrard Cambridge girls soccer coach Todd Volkert. As with the conference titles won this week by Sherrard, they've now won six conference championships this school year in the track. If you count the unofficial girls soccer conference title, it's seven that the Sherrard School District has won in the track this year. So a very successful year, basically from fall to winter through the spring for Sherrard in athletics. Okay, also this week, back on Tuesday and then Wednesday, the IHSA released postseason seeds and the postseason pairings for the upcoming baseball and softball state series. So we'll run through the regional pairings real quick and give a brief kind of reaction and preview. We'll do more. We'll go more in depth next week with postseason play beginning a week from Monday on May 19th. So in softball, in Class 2A locally, the two regional sites, as we talked about last week, are Farmington and Brimfield. So Rock Ridge and Sherrard will each be a part of the same regional in Farmington, as the Tigers and the Rockets were seeded 1 and 4 respectively, with Rock Ridge getting the one seed in the subsectional. Sherrard was seeded fourth. So Rock Ridge and Sherrard each get a bye into the regional semifinal round. Rock Ridge will play in the semifinals of the regional on Tuesday, May 20th, against the winner of the quarterfinal play-in game between Monmouth-Roseville and LVC, which is a co-op between Lewiston, Spoon River Valley, and Cuba. And then on Wednesday, May 21st, Sherrard and softball will open the postseason against the host, Farmington, at Farmington in the regional semifinal, with the championship game set for Friday, May 23rd at 4:30. Rock Ridge and Sherrard should both not have much trouble getting through their semifinal games. And then, of course, if that game ends up coming to fruition as a regional championship, that should be a lot of fun. The two teams played two really great games in the season that Rock Ridge won by a 6-5 score, a one-run victory both times, with the Rockets winning in walk-off fashion at home and then holding on to beat the Tigers by a run on the road on a rainy day. But when you look at those games, and we were there for both, I mean, there are two games that if a couple of balls bounce the other way or if a couple of more defensive plays are made, Sherrard very easily could have went 2-0 against Rock Ridge and flipped the script on that. So that would be a really compelling regional championship game if both teams are able to take care of business and get to that in Farmington. Will also be interesting to follow to see if that game were to be moved. There's been precedent set, if you remember, a few years ago in the boys basketball sectional, Rock Ridge and Princeton got there and were supposed to play in Orion. The game was moved to Geneseo because of lack of perceived room for the type of crowd that game was going to bring, and then it did sell out with 1,700 fans at that game. Now, that's not really an issue in baseball and softball in terms of not being able to fit enough people because it's an outdoor venue, but it, to me, wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense for Rock Ridge and Sherrard to play each other and both have to travel all the way to Farmington to do so, I should say. But at the end of the day, if Farmington is the host, you probably have to play there, as I think it's kind of a slippery slope if you start to let everybody petition to move games based on the matchup once you get to like the regional championship round. So we'll follow that. The other local regional is hosted by Brimfield and 2A. So both regional sites and the subsectional for softball really close together, which is kind of strange. Mercer County will be a part of that Brimfield regional. Golden Eagles got seeded fifth in the subsectional, which means they'll have to play a quarterfinal play-in game. Mercer County on Monday night, May 19th, and softball will host Orion, with the winner advancing to play Riverdale on Wednesday, May 21st in the semifinal. Riverdale completed a sweep of Mercer County this week in softball, winning 5-1 in Port Byron and then 7-0 in Aledo on Thursday. And the other quarterfinal game as part of that regional is Knoxville hosting Alleman on the 19th, with the winner of that advancing to take on the host and top seed in the regional, Brimfield, on Tuesday, May 20th. A regional championship game for the Broomfield Softball Regional also set for Friday, May 23rd at 4:30. On the baseball side of things, the two regional hosts locally, as we talked about last week, are Monmouth-Roseville and then in Bureau Valley. The Monmouth-Roseville Regional features all of Sherrard, Mercer County, and Rock Ridge. The quarterfinal games are Monday, May 19th in baseball as well, with Mercer County hosting Monmouth-Roseville. Golden Eagles seeded ninth in the subsectional out of 11 teams. The winner of that game advances to take on the top seed in the regional, Sherrard, on Wednesday, May 21st. The Tigers got seeded second in the subsectional, so they'll be the home team throughout the regional. And then the second quarterfinal game on the 19th, next Monday, is Rock Ridge hosting Knoxville. The winner moves on to play number three seed in the subsectional, Hall. Now, Hall did beat Sherrard this season 5-1 in their head-to-head matchup, the baseball regional championship in Monmouth, set for Saturday, May 24th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This feels like a regional that is pretty wide open. Obviously, we talked about their Hall beat Sherrard in a competitive game the first time, or I should say when they played in the regular season. Rock Ridge, with their top of the rotation pitching, is a team that always feels dangerous, especially in the postseason. They won a regional last year. So potential, maybe we could see a Sherrard versus Rock Ridge regional championship game two straight days in softball on the Friday and then in baseball on the Saturday. And then the other local 2A baseball regional hosted by Bureau Valley has Princeton playing Kewaunee in the quarterfinal round, with the winner advancing to take on top seed in the whole subsectional IBC on the 21st. That's Wednesday. And then Thursday, the Orion Chargers will play the Bureau Valley Storm, with the winners advancing to the regional championship game, which is also set for Saturday, May 24th at 1 o'clock there as well. Some other headlines for the upcoming week, as it's the final week of the regular season in both baseball and softball. The TrackWest softball race still up for grabs. We talked about earlier how the baseball race is over with Sherrard having already clinched the conference title outright. Well, Rock Ridge and Riverdale each have one loss in the conference. Riverdale plays Sherrard today at 10 o'clock. As Rock Ridge is 8-1, their lone game to be played still is the matchup with Riverdale, which was rained out. Riverdale has two games left at 7-1 in the conference. The Rams play Sherrard today, and then on Thursday, we'll play at home against Rock Ridge. If Riverdale is able to beat Sherrard, which the Tigers, as we talked about on our broadcast Wednesday, and their loss to Ridgewood, have been dealing with some sickness where they haven't been playing at full strength for the past week or so. If Riverdale can beat Sherrard today, it will set up what is virtually a de facto conference championship game next Thursday, as both Rock Ridge and Riverdale would enter that game 8-1 in the conference in the final conference game of the season. That'll be a WRMJ broadcast, by the way. Rock Ridge at Riverdale High School softball on Thursday. That'll be a 4:30 first pitch with pregame coverage set for 4:15 on WRMJ. Last week, when Rock Ridge and Riverdale played in Edgington, the Rockets won by a score of 7-4. Also coming up this week on the WRMJ sports broadcast schedule, high school baseball will pick up a suspended game between Rock Ridge and Sherrard. It was suspended in the top of the second inning due to rain a couple of weeks ago, a game that Sherrard was leading 5-4. That first inning took 45 minutes to complete. We were over there for the softball game that day. So Sherrard hosting Rock Ridge will pick that game up in the top of the second inning on Wednesday afternoon at 4:30. I guess you can't necessarily call it a first pitch because the game's already started, but the game will resume at 4:30. We'll be on the air around 4:15 to get you set for that broadcast on Wednesday as well. And one more thing I wanted to get to before we get to our interviews this week. Really cool honors for a couple of Rock Ridge softball grads at the Division I level. So Kendra Lewis, of course, in her freshman year at Wisconsin, named a first-team all-conference player in the Big Ten in softball as a freshman. She was one of just three freshmen to the first-team all-conference team in the Big Ten for softball this season. The conference announced that on Friday. Lewis also named to the all-freshman team in the Big Ten. Lewis's numbers on the season for the Badgers: 408 batting average. That's a freshman record for the Wisconsin program. 650 slugging percentage, freshman record at Wisconsin. A 1.092 OPS, freshman record at Wisconsin as well. She hit 7 home runs and racked up 39 RBI during her freshman season. Just a really incredible transition to the Division I level for Kendra Lewis, playing at the University of Wisconsin in the Big Ten. First team all-conference as a true freshman in softball at Wisconsin. And then Peyton Brown in her first year at Western Illinois University after transferring from Illinois State last year, named first team All-Conference in the Ohio Valley Conference and also named Co-Conference Player of the Year. Brown led the Ohio Valley Conference in several offensive categories. These are all during conference games. Hits with 48, doubles with 13, total bases with 89, slugging percentage at .908, and she also tied for first in the league and with home runs in 8. She hit 13 home runs total on the season, which put her second all-time in program history for a single season at Western Illinois University. She was the first Leatherneck softball player to be named a Conference Player of the Year since 2014, and I went back and made sure I had the numbers right. Of course, Peyton and Kendra played 3 years together at Rockridge High School, softball teammates, and we know they won 3 state championships. The record in those 3 seasons, 102-1. I mean, that is unbelievable. 102-1, and really, when you talk about those two kids together, I mean, they hit number 1 and number 2 in the lineup. And if you talk about the history of small school softball in the state of Illinois, it would be hard, I think, for you to find a better 1-2 punch in a lineup than Peyton Brown followed by Kendra Lewis at a 2A school with 350 students or whatever at Rockridge High School. That was quite a run with those two playing together, and that run for Rockridge continues in softball as they have won 14 games in a row now, and in a couple of weeks will try to win their 10th consecutive regional championship in softball and try to get to the state finals for the 7th straight year. Just a crazy run the past decade plus for the Rockridge softball program. And we can say, right, that Kendra and Peyton, both friends of the program, they both have been guests on Sportsline this year on the WRMJ airwaves. And our guest this week, we'll get to him momentarily, Sherrard girls track and field coach Todd Volker, Orient Sherrard Cambridge girls soccer coach Rick Klein, and then the Sherrard Tigers head baseball coach Nick Basala all lined up to talk to us this morning. 3 conference championships for those 3 sports in the Sherrard District. Again, though, the soccer one unofficial, as Coach Klein will be sure to remind us when we talk to him. So we'll hear from those coaches in that order as a successful school year in athletics for Sherrard High School rolls on with more conference championships this week. We'll come back and hear from Todd Volkert next. It's the WRMJ Sports Line from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, and made to move. Want max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run, now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And this is Ty Taylor back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Another conference championship for the Sherrard Tigers in girls track and field, winning the Three Rivers Athletic Conference meet on Thursday, finishing 48.5 points ahead of the second place finisher. Tigers win it with 145.5 points ahead of second place Mercer County, 97. We're speaking with Girard Girls Track and Field Coach Todd Volkert. So, Coach, congratulations on a fifth straight conference championship. Just kind of speak about the performance you saw from your lineup up and down the lineup for your kids on Thursday to get to the conference title again.
Yeah, thank you. It was an exciting night for us. You know, we always target the conference meet, and you know, to be able to win conference period with that quality of schools is great. And to be able to get five in a row, you know, the girls were really happy with that. And looking at our performances, it was just the night started off great in field events. Kids just started PRing right off the bat. And the other girls, you know, I tell them, go around, watch your teammates, be part of the solution. You know, help everybody else. And they start seeing other girls PR, and then they start believing they're going to have a great night. And, you know, things just kept rolling from there. And it was really fun to watch.
Yeah. So speak about the meaning of winning a conference championship. I know it's special year in and year out, but winning, you know, five in a row is really impressive, because it's not like it's just the same kids year over year that have done this and been a part of this run. So, I mean, just the meaning for you and the program of winning, you know, the track now 5 years in a row in girls track and field.
You know, we target the conference meet really, because that's really the only, you know, they're in sectionals, I guess is a little bit different story, but for us, winning conference is kind of the most important team title of the year. And we talk right from day one at the start of the season that, you know, when you put on this uniform, it means something. You know, it means something to your teammates. It should mean something to you. And we try to build a lot of pride in personal performance, and then looking outside of yourself and how you can help the team be better. And, you know, the girls, we've been fortunate. The girls buy into it, and they care, and they're proud to be a Tiger, and, you know, good things happen when you get that culture.
Yeah, and that goes along with something I want to ask you about, too. You know, it feels like your program especially is just one of those programs that has so much success, and you're able to get the kids, one, to come out, and two, to buy in. And I know that success is part of that, but what are the key ingredients of being able to kind of get that mesh point where you get everybody to buy in? Because I know so many programs feel like they struggle with that no matter what the sport is around the school year. So just what have you found as some of the biggest keys to being able to get to this point, just overall as a program?
Man, that's a really good question. I think me teaching PE down in our fifth and sixth grade level, where I get to see all these kids when they're 10 years old, and, you know, and I come back from track meets and I tell them stories about this girl and that girl. And, you know, it kind of piques their interest a little bit at a young age, because track's not something most kids grow up doing, you know, and then they get to high school and some of the kids just think, you know what, I might give that sport a shot. And they come out, and then once they come out, they know how I am. And it's, I put high pressure on them from day one, so that when we get to high pressure meets, it's nothing new to them. And I don't know, maybe just the way I go about the way I do things and my personality has something to do with it. I don't know.
So the performance on Thursday at the conference meet, you know, when you look at the individual results throughout each event, you know, it feels like you see a lot of, one, familiar names kind of scoring in multiple events. And then you also have, you know, multiple kids scoring in a lot of the events too. So what about the depth of the program you have this year in 2024-25? I mean, does it feel like a pretty traditional kind of Girard girls track and field type lineup where you have multiple kids scoring in multiple events?
Yeah, that's kind of the way we really try to run our program is, you know, you get kids come out and, you know, a lot of them all want to be sprinters, but I tell them, you know, if you're going to have success in this program, and if you want to compete, you're going to have to branch out and do other events to give yourself an opportunity to compete. And our girls are always willing to try new things. And, you know, I'll throw a girl an event and she'll be kind of good at it. And then we develop it, and, you know, we just kind of branch out from there. And we really stress covering all the events as well as we can with the numbers we have. And our freshmen this year, man, they have just developed a little faster than I was expecting. And they were really, really, our freshmen and sophomores yesterday were outstanding.
And looking at that, I know of the 18 events, you take first place in six of them, in the 1600, then three relays, 4x1, 4x4, 4x8, and then a few field events, two in the discus and in the pole vault. So I know I saw in the email you sent out in the 4x800 relay, you broke the conference record by more than 17 seconds, which is a really impressive feat. So talking about what you saw out of that race, I think Kylie Mathis, Evelyn Weekly, and then Beth and Anna Churchill were a part of that relay team. Speak about, you know, their level of competition this year and just what you saw maybe that allowed them to have such a good time at the conference meet on Thursday.
You know, those four girls are really, our whole distance group is really pretty close group of girls. And so when we practice, they're all similar in ability. So it allows them to run their workouts together at the same times that we need, because that 4x8 the last couple of years has just been exceptional. And so it's hard to find schools that can run with us. And it's even hard to manufacture competition in some of the meets. So practice is really, really the only places where they are really challenged time-wise by people, you know, unless we get to run against Cambridge and some of these other schools. But they were, I don't know, they're so mentally tough, and they had to do it all by themselves last night. And so we just have our markers on the track where we want them at certain places, and those girls, I don't know, they just find a way to get it done.
So is there any difference for you in how you put your lineup together for a conference meet as opposed to like a traditional invite throughout the season? Or is it a pretty similar lineup you put out there each day? I'm just curious about that.
It's fairly similar. I try to move the girls around within their event grouping from meet to meet, just so they aren't running the same races over and over, because then they'll get mentally stagnant, I think. So my lineups are fairly typical. But then when I get the conference, then I start really looking at what do we have shots at going to state in, and how can we win conference meet in particular, because that's the one meet I really target. So I scour the other team's results and try to find holes that we're able to fill in with our girls and get some points to try to win.
Well, something too about your lineup that I like especially is it feels like a lot of basically most of your kids, I should say, are kids that really excel in multiple sports. So you have a lot of multi-sport athletes, and I feel like there's a really good synergy at Sherrard when it comes to from season to season, from sport to sport. So, I mean, to you having kids compete in multiple sports, is that something that you find helps your program out, you think?
Yeah, I love multi-sport athletes because they come in and they have their various biomotor qualities have been developed through the movements they need in other sports, you know, and so then we can just add on to those strengths. And I think the multi-sport kids are always going to be your best athletes versus those kids that only try to focus on one, because they're doing other things and they're getting all their systems worked out through the demands of what else is going on, so that when I get them, you know, they seem to be a little bit well-rounded.
And then going off of that, I know this year in the past, you know, a few years, it feels like there's been a lot of success at Sherrard. Obviously, girls track and field is a big part of that. But this year especially, I think now with baseball winning the conference title yesterday as well, Sherrard has won, I think, six conference championships this year around the school year, which is the most in the league. And it feels like there's been a lot of postseason success in, you know, sports this season and last year for Sherrard too. So as, you know, the coach of one program, is that something that you feel maybe kind of helps momentum throughout the whole athletic department when you're seeing kind of success from, you know, sport to sport, no matter the gender, whether it's boys or girls this year? Because I feel like that's got to play some part of a help, right?
Yeah, you know, you would think that these kids, they know what's going on. And so they see this sport going and then they're like, well, I kind of want that. And so they take that back to their sport. And I think the coaches at Sherrard, we all get along really well with each other, and we try to work with each other and talk about things. And I think, you know, that kind of community within the coaching staff really starts to help out all of the programs as you get different perspectives and on how things are run in different programs. And, you know, one thing feeds into another, and it's, you know, this year in particular anyway, it's really spread throughout the entire school.
And again, we're speaking this morning with Sherrard Girls Track and Field Coach Todd Volger, Tigers conference champions for the fifth straight season in the track and girls track and field. I know looking ahead, you're competing in the 2A track and field postseason again this year like you did last year. What kind of a difference is that that maybe you noticed last year competing at 2A as opposed to 1A as you get ready to do that again in a couple of weeks in the sectional?
Well, you know, 2A would just, you know, these schools are so much bigger, you know. In 1A, there, you know, the difference between a school of 200 and a school of 400, it's kind of big and kind of not. But you know, when we're at 430 or whatever we're at enrollment wise, and we're running against schools of up to 1300 kids, it's a different ball game. Definitely, there's a lot more kids. They're faster. You really have to step up your level. And, you know, down at 1A, I don't know, if we were in 1A, we'd be qualifying for a lot more events at state. But you end up where you end up, and you've got to find a way to fight through and battle and get to what your goals are. And so we got one more year in 2A, and we're hoping to get some things down to state again this year.
And speaking about, you know, competing at 2A for you, I mean, is there any difference in like preparation throughout the season to get ready for the postseason, or is it just kind of similar as if you were in 1A too in terms of just preparing for the postseason?
No, my message is the same. I'm like, you train like a champion every day. You know, you think about winning championships when you're not training. And I try to just treat everything like you are trying to be the best you can be. And whatever situation you end up in, if you're prepared to be great, you'll be great. So that's kind of the way we look at it.
All right, just as we wrap up with you this morning, the sectional for Sherrard and girls track and field next Wednesday, May 14th at Rock Falls. So just kind of a brief maybe overview or preview of kind of what you expect out of the competition there and what you're hoping to maybe move on down to the state meet after competing at the sectional next week in Rock Falls.
We're in a completely different sectional than we were last year. So it's now we get all the Peoria schools we have to go against as well, and some schools from that area. So the competition is, I think it's going to be really, really tough down there for us. And as far as what I think we can get the state, I think our 4x8 right now are ranked in the top five in state. So if we can just run what we've been running, they'll be good. I think our 4x4 is in good position. Our pole vault and discus thrower, Eliza and Sadie Shemek, I think are really sitting in good shape to get down there possibly. And then for everything else, you know, we'll talk about it with the girls, and I'll just say, let's go down and do what we do. And I'm sure these girls will step up like they do in all the big situations, just like they did last night. And maybe we'll surprise some people and get some other things through.
All right, Sherrard Girls Track and Field Coach Todd Volker joining us this morning on Sportsline on WRMJ. The Tigers win a fifth straight conference championship in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference in Girls Track and Field on Thursday. 145.5 points ahead of second place Mercer County, which scored 97. Coach Volker, appreciate the time, and good luck to you and the kids next week in Rock Falls.
Thanks, I appreciate everything you guys do for us.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Now at 614-0-RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, and made to move. Want max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 614-0-RUN, now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And this is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com on Sportsline this morning, getting a chance to highlight the Orion Sherrard Cambridge Girls Soccer Co-op off to a great start as we're talking with head coach Rick Klein this morning, a 19-2 record for the program. So, like I said, coach, a great start to the season. Tell us, for you, what's been going right? Looks like a lot for this group this year. Is that right?
It has just been a fun ride. We have 9 seniors. And the girls have committed. We've coached them. This is probably our 6th or 7th year with this group, and they worked together as younger kids before that. And all that hard work and commitment are paying off. And I would also add, oddly enough, I have made this startling discovery over the years that we seem to have more success in terms of wins and losses when we have good athletes, and we have some terrific athletes. And you put all that together with a great attitude and just their effort. And this is the culmination of all of that. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah, so speaking about the performance on the field for you and your team this season, I mean, what do you think have been some of the biggest keys for why this group has meshed so well and been able to put together such a strong first couple of months of the season?
Well, again, knowing each other, you know, having played together each of those years going back, that you know what your teammate's strengths are, what her weaknesses may be, and we start to hide the weaknesses, we can accentuate the positives. And, you know, she likes the ball played up over the top so we can get the run on. She likes a low splitting pass. We work really hard in our game at possession, right? That if we've got the ball, only good things can happen. And the girls get that. We have worked really hard at being a quality passing and possession team that we try then to move or change the shape. Little Bobby Knight reference there, distort the shape of the defense and then take what the defense gives us. And our girls are smart enough. You know, I think the soccer IQ is pretty high for this group, and they see what they've done to the defense and then take advantage of that.
Well, like we said off the top, a 19-2 record. So kind of going down the line on your schedule this season, is there maybe a win that felt really important, maybe as like a win that felt like you were able to prove like, hey, we got a chance to have a pretty special year here? So is there any specific maybe win or couple of wins that have felt, you know, pretty big this year on this run you've been on?
Yeah, that's a great question. I kind of hold up the Princeton tournament as that like harbinger, you know, of what's going to go well for us or not. And winning that tournament over some quality teams, Dixon is rock solid this year. Beecher had close to a 20-win season a year ago, and, you know, have a girl that the game before us, she scored her 100th career goal, and she's just a junior. And, you know, to beat a program like that felt good. And I think kind of held the bar up about where we can be and what we can do. You know, it's always an interesting dynamic. It's not just for us, it's for everybody in the spring. But boy, you compete with a whole lot just getting the team together to be there. And our co-op now with Cambridge on board, a three-school co-op, that means we have three spring breaks. We have three prom nights. And just getting the whole team together, getting the whole band together is a challenge for everybody. But when we've got them all together, we're pretty darn good. We've had a couple, you know, moments when we didn't have everybody together. We are a little more challenged at those moments, you know, with the depth. And pretty much the girls have been able to take care of that and still perform to their highest capability.
Yeah, that's something you bring up that I'd really like to expand on a little bit with the addition of Cambridge, like you touched on. Now, three schools are a part of this team, Orion, Sherrard, and Cambridge. So can you talk a little bit more about just the logistics of trying to, you know, schedule practices and bus to games when you have three separate school districts coming together to play a single sport together? I mean, I think it's probably something where people don't really understand the challenges unless they're a part of it, right? So can you speak about just the challenges that presents off the field trying to get everything together?
None of that would work. We have terrific cooperative administrators. That has to set the tone. Orion is the host school, so we're, you know, geographically between Sherrard and Cambridge, so that makes it easy. All of our practices are held here. We, you know, are responsible to provide the transportation and all, and the kids understand that coming into it, eyes wide open. You know, Sherrard is a huge bus district, so we got kids in New Windsor and Viola all the way up to Milan. And they are driving every day to come to practice. You know, it can be a factor that we try to end earlier, that all of the things, you know, I can't start too early because I'm thinking, geez, I got some kid getting up, you know, way early on a Saturday morning or something. So that is a factor. But the other thing that I'll give the shout out to is our parents. And they are wonderful. They are terrific. We have an app that everybody weighs in on, and there is chatter on that every day about something, you know, putting together the team dinners and the logistics. You know, this weekend we'll be traveling up and playing Byron on Friday and then Dixon on Saturday, and we do an overnight. And they're talking about, you know, the team dinner and the hotel reservations and who's bringing what for the breakfast on Saturday morning. And it would not be happening as well as it is just without this wonderful cooperative spirit. And, man, I feel like it's Christmas every morning because we get to work with a great bunch of people who get it and are all in for their kids.
Well, something cool, I think, over the past week that you were able to do is basically you win the unofficial conference championship in the track and girls soccer. Now, the league isn't officially a girls soccer conference, I believe, because there aren't quite enough participating schools, but you've beat the other participating schools, went 4-0 against them. So is that something that means something to you in the program? And then is that something you're able to celebrate, too, even though it's, you know, quote-unquote, an unofficial conference championship?
Yeah, that's why I quoted I included the unofficial when I put that out on the social media stuff. You know, and our on the boys' side, that was unofficial too. But if we swept our conference opponents, we distributed T-shirts. I got T-shirts made and, you know, a little glitter on there. And the girls like that. They were already talking the day before. Coach, we getting T-shirts? I said, you know, yeah, good things happen when you take care of business. So, of course, but our players are very aware of that. And we use that as, again, one of those challenges for them. Let's take care of business. And we had an incredible game with Princeton, and hats off to them. That was a great, great game. And essentially a conference championship played at Princeton the other night. Just a huge win and come back. And the players are aware of it. The parents were giddy as well. And we take a lot of pride in our unofficial track conference championship t-shirts.
I love that. I need to get a Orion Sherrard Cambridge girls soccer track championship unofficial t-shirt. I want to get one of those. So I'll have to try to maybe give you my size after the interview. All right. Some more stuff I want to touch on with you, Coach Klein. Talking with you before we started, a soccer coaching career that has spanned now, you know, more than two decades. So as you've seen the game at the IHSA level kind of progress and grow from when you started to now where we are in 2025, I mean, how do you think just the state of soccer around the state looks like as you've played, you know, the numbers you have, the numbers you see other programs, and does it feel like a sport that is still growing, you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that gives hope for us. We're real close. We've been on that cut line, again, for the listeners who may not be as close followers of high school girls soccer. Illinois has three divisions, so single A, double A, triple A. And our program has gone back and forth between single A, where we would be one of the biggest schools in single A, and double A, where we're the smallest, swinging back and forth over the years. There's been enough additional girls soccer teams added that we are going to be really close in the future to going back down to single A. And tell you the truth, that doesn't bother me. I could live with that for the postseason. I think it'd be just fine saying adios to our good friends at Geneseo and Dunlap and Peoria Notre Dame. That would be okay. So that's just on the numbers for soccer. And we know that that has grown across the state. And I can tell you that the quality of play has risen along with that. One of the challenges in our game is just to control the ball, to possess the ball, and, you know, tactically be able to take advantage of that. And we've grown in our ability as a program to possess and attack. And we have seen our opponents continue to get better athletes out there who have refined their touch. And that's a big requirement for being able to tactically choose to be a possession-based team versus a more direct or, you know, kickball kind of team. So big growth for girls soccer in our state, in our area. And hopefully, you know, we get another team or two to join us in the track conference and it becomes an official conference sport.
Yeah, I guess that's something I'll ask you about real quickly, too. Has there been any talk about any of the other member schools? I know right now the member schools in the track that play and participate in girls soccer is the Orion Sherrard Cambridge co-op, Monmouth Roseville, Princeton Hall, they co-op with DePew, and then Mendota has a girls soccer team as well. Has there been any talk or discussion about potentially seeing, you know, a sixth school pick up the sport, or has that not been something that's really been discussed yet?
You know, I used to have this discussion with your dad on some talks that you know, Kewaunee, they didn't have a program. Now they have a program on the boys' side. And it was kind of the same thing that happened with Monmouth Roseville. They didn't have a program, and they get the program on the boys' side, and the girls follow. So, you know, there's hope out there. I don't know if Riverdale will ever do that right now that their girls that like soccer have to play with the boys' team, but you know, here's hoping. And we got the World Cup being hosted in the United States next summer, and that'll just add some more visibility to the sport, and hopefully all that will snowball.
All right, so you mentioned how the Orion Sherrard co-op historically, now with Cambridge in there too, has kind of fluctuated between 1A and 2A in the soccer postseason. As you said, it's a three-class sport. So this year, even with a 19-2 record, you talk about some of the level of competition you have to see once you get to the postseason. In an 8-team subsectional at 19-2, seated seventh with some really strong teams and programs with you know, really successful heritages in the subsectional. So just, I mean, what about this loaded subsectional you're a part of in 2A girls soccer that feeds into the LaSalle Peru sectional, Orion, one of the regional hosts, but I mean, just a loaded 8-team field, it looks like, in the subsectional.
Yeah, and that's just the nature of the beast for postseason. It's never easy, and I guess probably it shouldn't be easy. You know, we talked in our goal-setting sessions early in the season about, you know, what are those things that we want a successful season to look like. And to get to where those goals lie, there's going to be quality competition. So, in the final analysis, it really doesn't matter when it is that you're going to play them. But to get to where we want to be, you're going to have to play some tough teams. So in this case, we get Richwoods, and Nate has built a very powerful program over there, done a great job. And we look forward to being challenged early on in our regional, playing a tough Richwoods squad. And that that would get us a matchup, you know, with another strong team, likely. But if it's not challenging, where's the joy in that? I guess, you know, the point being, let's earn it. Let's play the best. And, if we get the win, man, are we going to feel good? And if we don't, we're going to go down knowing that we fought our best and, did the best with what we could. And you know, the other corny point that I make to the kids is, you know, unless you win state, your season's going to end with a loss. And there's always somebody else better out there. Just realistically, you know, bigger talent pool, bigger, faster, stronger, more skilled athletes. That's the reality. So all we can do is to try to control what we are capable of controlling. The challenge I give them is, as an old retired Army guy, you know, let's be the best that we can be. Let's realize our potential. And if it's not enough, so be it. We're not going to walk off with our heads down and say we did the best with what we had and had fun doing it.
All right, Orion Sherrard, Cambridge girls soccer coach Rick Klein, joining us on Sportsline this morning in year number 18. It's been a successful spring for the co-op at 19-2 as we're speaking with Coach Klein. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, Coach, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Always a pleasure.
All right, I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, and made to move. Want max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN, now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And this is Ty Taylor back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, talking with Sherrard baseball coach Nick Basala. The Tigers win a conference championship outright in the TrackQuest for the second consecutive season this week, currently sitting at 7-0 in the league. So, Coach Basala, congrats on that. Just the meaning of being back-to-back conference champions.
Yeah, thanks, Ty. You know, it means a lot. We graduated a lot of guys last year, so we had experience coming in this year, but not necessarily a lot of on-field experience. We knew we had some pretty good talent, knew it was going to take a little while to gel, and got off to a little bit of a slow start, but we started putting it together a little bit. We especially played really good baseball in the conference this year so far. It helps to have a couple guys at the top of the rotation that go out and give you consistent innings all the time. So that really helped us, and now our offense is starting to go a little bit, so it's a fun time of the year for us.
Yeah, so speaking on the offensive side of things for you, like you touched on there, it felt like you lost so much to graduation, especially just in the everyday lineup from last year coming into this year. So just, you know, the progression of the kids who have slid into those spots as you're getting ready for the postseason here in a couple weeks. I mean, how do you think that has gone as you're trying to, you know, peak at the right time here in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of guys worked really hard. We had a consistent number of kids that came in the offseason to get swings in the cage and work hard. And, you know, it helped. We bring back Aiden Taranis and Garrett Woodward to be kind of in the middle of the order. But then we get guys to step up and young guys. Harrison Curry is a junior in the outfield leading off for us. His power has kind of really come on lately. Eli Mattson as a sophomore, he's come on. He's been the middle of an order guy for us and been swinging it really well. And then senior Brady Peterson that, you know, he's more of a pitcher for us, but he's been swinging it really, really well for us. And now he's up into the five spot and getting consistent at bats out of Carter Brown. In the middle of the order too. So it's just a lot of young guys really starting to get into it and gelling at the plate, starting to take good approaches and getting good results for us. It's really helping us down the stretch.
Yeah, you mentioned Aiden Taranis there, and of course a lot of the headlines or highlights about him are about his pitching, of course. And I think, like you touched on there, when you kind of are trying to figure everything out with a completely new group virtually, you know, in the starting lineup every day, when you have a kid like that who you can put on the mound and you know is going to really, you know, most days completely shut down the opponent, it's probably pretty nice. So just his senior year, I know he's been impressive all 4 years basically on the mound for Sherrard, but I know another really huge year for him kind of leading you on the mound. So overall, just out of his performance, what have you seen in Aiden Taranis as a senior year that you've liked?
Yeah, I mean, he is who people think he is, right? You know, that little bit of a saying, but he goes out every Monday for us essentially and gives us a great outing and gives us an opportunity to win games. And, you know, it kind of just helps this younger core kind of relax a little bit and know that you're going to be in the game. You don't have to do anything over the top offensively. Just play our style of the game and go out and score a few runs and you probably get a W, you know, when he's out there. And just the way he's grown over the last 4 years, both just as a person and as a pitcher, has been tremendous. I mean, he knows how to pitch now. He understands what he needs to do, how to sequence pitches, and then he just goes out and takes advantage. He's just a dude on the mound, probably one of the best to go through Sherrard. You know, he's at the top two in almost every statistical category for a career on the mound. So it's just been a blessing. It's been fun to have him for 4 years, but he's still got a lot of work to do for us. You know, he's still got a couple outings in the regular season, and then hopefully he can lead us onto a deep playoff run.
So the pitching outside of Taranis, I think maybe coming into the season, it was a little bit of a question mark, but just looking at kind of the numbers statistically for you, I mean, I think you've probably got to be really happy with virtually the rest of your pitching staff. So the expectations coming in versus what you've actually got out of those kids who've been pitching outside of Taranis, are you kind of happy with what you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had guys step up. Junior Sam Steckel, he kind of stepped up into a relief role for us. Battling a little bit of an elbow injury right now, but he's been really good out of the bullpen for us. Eli Mattson as a sophomore has stepped up and thrown a lot of innings for us, kept us in ball games. Brady Peterson has been a big one for us. At the beginning of the season, our plan for him was to really be a relief guy that we could throw two or three times a week, close down games, because we didn't feel outside of Aiden we had anyone that could really go the six or seven for a complete game. We thought we'd be able to piggyback Brady on those, but now he's turned into a really important starter for us and has done a nice job. Blake Searns has come in for us. He was battling a little bit of an arm injury, but he's getting back and he's thrown a couple good innings lately. So we've been really impressed with what we've got. We're able to piece some guys together on games that Aiden's not on the mound.
And it's just worked out really well for us, and they've all kind of bought into their role, and they're throwing well at the right time.
Well, with the conference, you know, kind of wrapped up for you, I know the focus will start to shift more and more towards what you have looking ahead to in the postseason. So a part of the Monmouth-Roseville Regional in 2A, you've seen basically, I think, everybody that is a part of that regional, a lot of conference opponents in there. You'll play the winner of Mercer County and Monmouth-Roseville in the semifinal round. Just the postseason seeding when it came out and the postseason bracket that you see at the regional you're a part of. I mean, just the initial reaction this week to the how the postseason path starts for Sherrard.
Yeah, I kind of like the setup. I first like that we get to go to Monmouth-Roseville, be a little bit closer. I was actually a little surprised that we got the nod over Hall since they beat us head-to-head. But I guess, you know, the whole season of look, they gave us the nod. But I like the setup. You know, we got to play good baseball. Postseason baseball is crazy. Kind of saw it last year. We get knocked off early. So you got to get ready to play it. You got to go out and play your best game all the time. I'm just looking forward to it. It's a really fun time of the year. And excited to get this group going into that.
Yeah, I think postseason baseball, especially at the high school level, is so compelling because of, you know, the pitching aspect of it, where if it was a softball team that you're coaching, you know, you could throw eight in Toronto's every inning the whole postseason and not really have to worry about anything else. But in baseball, obviously, you got to kind of strategically pick and choose, say, okay, where do we want to pitch him at? I know that's a decision that is really hard to make and one you probably haven't made yet, but when you talk about starting the postseason, what all goes into making the decision when you have a kid like Toronto is if you want to pitch him, you know, in the semifinal round of the regional, or if you want to try to hold him to pitch in the championship, because I always think that's like probably the toughest decision that a high school sports coach has to make each year. It's the baseball coach trying to figure out when he should pitch his number one in the postseason. So for you, you've done it for a long time. What all goes into that decision?
Yeah. I mean, really, you just kind of try to look at your matchups, you know, regionals are really tough, especially just the sport in itself. You don't know how it works out. You can hit a ball really hard and it goes right at someone. You don't score any runs. So we just try to look both short-term and long-term of the matchups, kind of how it plays out in the regional, you know, and then obviously that affects what the matchup would look like if you get to a sectional title or a sectional complex. So we're just trying to look through our matchups, see what works out best for us. Haven't made the decision yet, but just looking forward to get him out there and see what he can do for us and then see how the days line up. You know, we do get a little bit of advantage that we'll play a regional on Wednesday night. Hall then plays Thursday, so it gives us an extra day going into a sectional if we were to get there. So just looking at a lot of different aspects, seeing what works out best for us and go from there and play it one at a time.
As we wrap up with you this morning, Coach Basala, I know looking ahead, as we've talked about the postseason coming up, I think you like where you've been progressing throughout the season, but just to keep things rolling in the right direction and to go on a postseason run, I know baseball is one of those sports especially too where it feels like you got to get a little bit lucky, like you just touched on, hard hit balls sometimes hit right at somebody, sometimes even get a break maybe with some defensive stuff for your opponent. So just the keys to go on a run in baseball in the postseason, what are some things you got to put together to be able to get deep into the postseason here in 2025?
Yeah, number one is definitely defensively right now. We're struggling to kind of throw the ball around the infield. So we got to work on that. We've got to tighten that up a little bit. And then we just got to stay within ourselves offensively. We got guys starting to take good approaches, getting good timing at the plate. We just got to keep doing those things. We can't let the postseason put pressure on us where we have to try to you know, hit balls into the gap all the time. Like, we can play station to station a little bit. We've started seeing a little bit of power come out of our bats lately. We got to make sure that we stay focused on how that actually happens with approach and timing. And then, like I said, we just got to clean it up defensively. We had six errors on Thursday night against Monmouth-Roseville, and luckily that didn't come back to bite us. So we just got to clean that stuff up, not beat ourselves, and then compete every pitch.
Okay, just one more thing. I talked with Sherrard's girls track and field coach Todd Volkert this morning too, after they won the conference title Thursday as well. And something I asked him, I want to ask you too. It feels like, you know, at Sherrard the past, you know, especially 3 or 4 years, there's been so much success kind of around the school year, whether it be boys sports, whether it be girls sports. There's just been a lot of winning, it feels like. I think there's now, after the baseball and girls track teams won conference titles, 6 conference championships this year in the track for Sherrard, you know, around the school year. So just as a varsity coach of one sport, is that something that you feel like plays into maybe success in your sport when you're able to see success in other sports throughout the school year too?
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, there's a great support staff over there. You know, all of us coaches, I think, are on the same page with what we're trying to accomplish. We talk all the time, like, I'll even see Coach V around. We'll be able to talk. We'll be able to compare some things and, you know, get input for each one of us on things we're doing, you know, and even from the girls' side to the boys' side. There's a great gel of coaches over there that all get along. We're all looking to do the same thing, try to develop our student athletes and put them in a situation to have success and enjoy that experience. And then it stops at the top with Mrs. Emmendorfer. You know, she's great. She supports all of us coaches. So just having her leadership is great for the school. And that's why we start seeing success all the time over there.
All right. The Sherrard Tigers are conference champions in the Track West in baseball in 2025 for the second straight year after beating Monmouth Roseville on Thursday to get to 7-0 in the conference. Sherrard will begin postseason play in a couple of weeks at the 2A Monmouth Roseville Regional. Speaking with Nick Basala, the head coach of the Tigers this morning. Coach, appreciate the time and good luck in the postseason.
Thank you, Ty. Appreciate everything, man.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, and made to move. Want max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN, now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
All right, back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor with you as Sportsline wrapping up on a Saturday morning. Our fourth to last show of the 2024-25 school year. Our final Sportsline of the school year will be Saturday, May 31st. And we're hoping to be reviewing a sectional championship softball win that morning by one of our local schools. And we're hoping to be previewing a sectional championship baseball game that'll be played that day by one of our baseball schools, hopefully, right? So a lot to look forward to as we start to wind down the 2024-25 school year. I know for local schools, graduation coming up over the next week or so, and then the postseason for girls track starts this week, boys track, and then baseball, softball, and girls soccer next week is when the postseason gets underway. So it's flown by, that's for sure, and I know everyone's going to really miss Sportsline every Saturday morning until August, once we get through the end of May, right? All right, well, real quickly, our upcoming WRMJ Sports broadcast schedule over the next week. We have high school baseball on Wednesday, picking up a suspended game between Rock Ridge and Sherrard from the Joel Brunsfeld Complex over at Sherrard High School. The Tigers lead that game 5-4 in the top of the second inning. They'll resume the game at 4:30 on Wednesday. We'll be on the air right around 4:15. And then on Thursday, we have high school softball. Rock Ridge will try to wrap up an outright conference championship in Track West softball, going for the program's ninth consecutive conference title. Rock Ridge will play on the road at Riverdale on Thursday afternoon up in Port Byron at 4:30, first pitch there, with pregame coverage at 4:15. So that is a look at what's ahead on the WRMJ airwaves. We'll be back here on Sportsline next week. I think we're going to try to do kind of a softball regional preview with coaches from Rock Ridge, Sherrard, and Mercer County, with the high level, you know, softball that is in both the subsectional and in the area as we start to get ready for the postseason. Thanks to our great guests this week, Nick Basala, Todd Volkert, and Rick Klein. Successful school year for Sherrard in athletics, basically in everything, and a successful spring for Sherrard, along with the Orient Sherrard Girls Soccer Co-op as well. All right, that'll wrap up Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ. Appreciate you listening, and for WRMJ Sports, I'm Ty Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.